This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bites. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Arvini Viraj.
And we have a virtual Jeff Sandu with us. He is over in Shanghai covering the Consumer Electronics Show, where there's a 5G, artificial intelligence, AR, VR, XR, automotive tech, robotics, fashion. The list just goes
on. He flew to Shanghai fast after like Tech Talk just now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
He's like that. You know.
What jet is this?
Jeff Jet. Yeah. It's this new airline that's just started out here in Malaysia. Very tall people, apparently. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899. You can get us on Twitter or on Instagram. No question, for today. We're just going to hand over the show to Jeff Sandu for the next 15 minutes or so, whilst he regales us with his adventures over in Shanghai. Jeff, it is over to you, my friend.
5G, artificial intelligence, automotive tech, AR, VR, robotics, and a startup park featuring 125 startups in the tech space can only mean one thing. This is CES Asia 2019. So I'm here in Shanghai thanks to CTA, the Consumer Technology Association. They are, of course, the owners of CES Las Vegas and CES Asia. This is the fifth CES Asia, and according to Gary Shapiro, he's the president and the CEO of CTA, the number of exhibitors have doubled, and a 75% growth on the number of attendees from the first show 5 years ago. And I can tell you from all the walking around in the entire exhibition hall, it was a great way to hit my step counter on my fitness tracker. So the day kicked off with a keynote by Xiao Yang. He's the chief strategy officer of Huawei Consumer Business Group. And I know what's on everyone's lips at the moment. The ongoing trade wars with the US and also the Huawei ban by the US government. Well, in a very frank and open manner, Xiao Yang talked about how things have changed from the early days of his Huawei life.
You want to know more about how we are faring recently? This is what I care about also. In the first 13 years in Huawei, I have been very quiet in my life. Little friend knew what I was doing, like base station, like MSC, so on and so forth. They didn't know, so they didn't care. They asked me, what company are you working at? I said, Huawei. What's Huawei? I said, we provide services like base stations and other communication services to the world. They didn't know, so they stopped asking. In the past 8 years, I was involved in consumer business. But all of a sudden, I began very busy. People kept looking for me in order to buy the newest of Huawei's products, in order to solve the technical issues of Huawei phones, or for feeding to me their concerns about Huawei. So more often than not, more often than before, I received inquiries and requests from my friends. And in the recent 20 days, I've been asked, are you good? Are you under huge pressure? Please pay attention to your health, okay? So many cares from my friends. So I feel very complicated because I don't know how to answer these questions. I don't know if they believe in what I tell them in reply. Until one day, I took notice of the quote by Mr. Ren Zhengfei, the head of Huawei. He said, this is not the most dangerous time of Huawei. In reverse, this is the best times for Huawei.
That quote by Xiao Yang was a quote by the CEO of Huawei during an interview with CCTV just recently. He also mentioned that their plans to be the world's largest smartphone maker will need more time. And this goal was originally set out to be achieved in the fourth quarter of this year. He said, and I quote, we would have become the largest in the fourth quarter, but now we feel that this process may take longer. He didn't, however, elaborate on the reasons. But his talk was mainly focused on artificial intelligence and the future of devices. He said that we're at the dawn of a new transformation for device industry because we're at the moment in the 12-year cycle.
And there is a cyclicality nature. Every 12 years, there is a transformation. Back then, there was Motorola launched analog phone. Then later on, Nokia launched the digital mode phone. Then in 2007, Apple Corporation launched a smartphone. So according to this pattern and a cycle, this year represents another starting point for a new cycle after 12 years since the launch of a smartphone by Apple. So going forward, there will be a more disruption to the previous generations of mobile phones.
So what's the future that Huawei envisions then? Well, he spoke about this new architecture. It's called the OnePlus 8 Plus N. It's a little bit difficult to explain on air, but think of the way how things have been built so far. Your smartphones, your smart devices at home, your smart TV, your laptop, your car, you name it. They're all built in silos and with the same layers of architecture. For example, if you want to order food, you'd open a food delivery app on your smartphone and then the food delivery app runs to the cloud, fetching you data and information that you need and delivers the food to you. And it's the same when you want to watch your favorite TV series on your smart TV. You turn on the TV, it opens the streaming application app and then it gets the info from the cloud and play you that episode of Game of Thrones, for example. But these two devices, and basically every single device, don't actually speak together. Not at least in the way Huawei envisions.
And this is the structural plane of the devices. We call it an architecture 1 plus 8 plus N. One is mobile phone, though the mobile phone may not look like the phones that we have nowadays. However, this something that goes with us every day is called One. If we still call it a mobile phone. Name doesn't matter. On that basis, we have 8 other access points. If mobile phone is one access point, then there are 8 supporting access points. They are tablets, PC, vehicle machines, and TVs. These are the 4 big screens serving as supporting access points. There are also 4 smaller factors like speakers, watches, earphones and glasses. And the reason why we call them access points is because we interact with them. And the interaction with them will be able to carry all the information and support the operation of all these devices. Yet there are many IoT devices in all the scenarios that we're talking about, like white appliances, like smart devices, like security devices, lighting, so on and so forth. So we call this third layer, the N layer, the IoT layer. Mobile phone is the thread that connects all of them. With one account, services can be accessed via mobile phone, and mobile phone becomes the central node of everything. And for all the 8 access points, they have their own characteristics. They are just like the 8 traditional famous deities in China. They work their own magics and they have their own advantages. For example, they have maybe watch has the advantage of convenience that is more than mobile phones. So all these 8 access points have their own characteristics in the form of advantages and disadvantages. So how do we align 1, 8, and N? Let's start from the first point. How does the mobile phone, evolve to be aligned and connected with all the 8 supporting access points? There are many scenarios in which it can happen. For example, in vehicles. For example, we've already got demos working with Volvo. We're also working with Audi and BMW on that. We're working with more than 10 OEMs in China for that. In one word, the cooperation is all about making sure that with a mobile phone in the pocket of the driver doesn't need to generate the phone from the pocket when driving the car and accessing all the services.
So in short, your mobile phone, if that's what we're still going to be calling it in the future, will be that one device that powers everything up. It will be that one piece of technology that identifies who you are and gives you that personalization, be it at home or at your office or in your car. It's a bold future, but it's not something far from reality, because Huawei is also a player in the smart homes and IoT industry, as well as a leader in the 5G space. And of course, this is all even more possible when 5G becomes the norm. Now, speaking of the norm, I then got on the exhibition tour with Steve Koenig. He's the VP for Market Research at CTA, whom, by the way, I had a very quick one-on-one chat with him, which will be aired next Thursday on Tech Talk at 11 a.m, so stay tuned for that. So Steve brought a bunch of us media folks around the exhibition halls, and the one thing that really stood out for me was when he mentioned how the new often very quickly becomes the norm in China.
So witness the future, and this can be used for its privacy protection models, security, facial recognition, things like this. These things can happen pretty quickly in China because of the reasons I mentioned. You have no expectation of privacy, and if the government wants something to happen, it's going to happen. That's not true in the United States. That's not true in Europe. So therefore, in some ways, China has, in terms of a consumer tech marketplace, you guys know China has accelerated rapidly. And what's very interesting is that just how quickly the new becomes the normal in China. And this kind of technology is there's a pilot project in Shenzhen that is using, again, AI combined with mobile payments and biometrics, facial recognition, at their metro system. So you go in to take the metro. You just basically look at a screen with a camera. It captures your face. It knows, okay, well, Steve got on at this station. Then I take my ride. I get to where I'm going, and I leave the station. I do the same thing. I don't have to touch anything. I just look at this camera and go out, and the turnstile opens. I walk out. My account is debited for the fare. So that's truly frictionless, right? I mean, there's, you know, mobile payments. You got to get your phone and wave it on there. Nah, we can do better. And this is where biometrics comes in. So a lot of models around these kinds of systems for security, for authentication of across a lot of different scenarios. Let's keep going.
Actually, one of the funniest stories I encountered today is in the booth by VeriSilicon. It's a company that dabbles with a whole bunch of things like SOC or system-on-a-chip solutions. They also do system-in-a-package solutions. They're an IP provider for IoT devices. They're also an AI and machine learning solutions engineer. So they were demonstrating their facial recognition scanner on a very big display. And apparently, according to their systems, I'm a 36-year-old male. And mind you, I'm only turning 33 this year, so I think there's still work to be done, if I'm being honest. But Steve has a point in that China is very fast in adoption of these new technologies. A lot of the things that were on display here are things that we've seen in movies like Blade Runner or Black Mirror, and most of these things aren't really concepts anymore. There's also a whole bunch of robotics on display, from agriculture to companion robotics. And Steve made a very good point on how comfortable we seem to be getting with these robotics recently.
One other interesting thing relative to digital assistants that I've asked for the past couple of years is if we're having more interactions with these digital assistants, and then as the AI is trained and it starts to know more about us, we're having more conversations with them. At what point do we call that a relationship? You know, they're like my best friend, or I come home and they're like, "Hello, Steve," you know, and it's yeah. I mean, yeah. And so if you've ever seen that movie Her, right? That's a really good sketch for like what's coming, right? Maybe sci-fi, but really, is it? I don't know. And so when you bridge that dynamic with like a lot of these humanoid type robots, then it gets really interesting. Really interesting.
And wrapping up day one was a keynote by Audi China. And one of the key messages I got from their keynote was how they see China is very much closer to reaching the future that we've envisioned. Audi China also talked about Audi's V2X, which means vehicle to everything. And they played a video showing off how their car is fully connected to the devices at home, like your lighting and air conditioning, how it also connects to your calendar, so you could ask your digital assistant that's in your car to make appointments or schedule your meetings around, depending on the traffic conditions. It could even recommend you restaurants and make bookings just with your voice. It could scan for empty car park bays at your destination to help you get a parking spot easier and quicker. It could also pay for these parking bays as you exit. And of course, you could do a whole bunch of other things as well. So that was pretty much my experience of day one at CES Asia 2019. And to be honest with you, it's only about half of what actually happened here. I do wish for maybe like a cloning solution, because there are multiple things going on at the same time. But it is exciting what's happening here at CES Asia, and tomorrow is another round of keynotes and events, most notably from Dr. Chang Huang. He's the co-founder and VP for Horizon Robotics. They are one of the leading AI solutions provider in China, and we are expecting him to unveil advancements in the edge computing and also their vision and strategy for future AI applications. So despite the ongoing battles with the US and also the Huawei ban by the US government, nothing seems to be stopping China on the technology and innovation front. And everyone here is very much optimistic about the future. My name is Jeff Sandu, reporting from CES Asia 2019 in Shanghai. Back to the studio.
Thank you very much to Jeff Sandu, of course, reporting from Shanghai. He'll be doing the same thing tomorrow as well, so we'll have more from day two from the CES in Shanghai. Of course, it is the Consumer Electronics Show. Stuff from 5G, artificial intelligence, AR, VR, XR, you name it, he's talking about it, right?
Yeah, you know, when he said that China might become the future that we've all envisioned, that's the part that stuck out, because we always thought it would come from the US, or a country like the US, because that's where all the pop culture, sci-fi stuff is centered. Right, but you never expected all the your future to come out of China,
unless you watch Black Mirror.
Yeah, but that's not a good show to base stuff on. You don't want that future. But yeah, I mean, the stuff that they're doing is so advanced and so like experimental and stuff that the future that we live in could come out of China. It could be based on stuff that's happening in China now.
For sure. Ladies and gents, we're going to take a very short break. We've got music coming up from Big Country with In a Big Country, because they're so, thoughtful and creative like that. Mm. When we come back, story number two, we won't be listening to music anymore, apparently. And then we've got story number three coming up in just a few minutes from Arvin about a pair of sneakers that are not made from stuff that you would normally make sneakers from.
Yeah, they're made from plants.
Plants. Mm. Real plants.
Plants, yeah, all kinds of plants.
The green kind of plants.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. This is BFM 89.9. This is Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.